Our reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. Mark, the 14th chapter, beginning with the 37th verse, and it is from our Lord's Passion, the night he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then Jesus came and found his disciples sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. What a sad juxtaposition. Here we have our Lord just hours away from going to the cross. We think of the great burden that is upon him. As he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, we're told that his sweat was like drops of blood. All of the world's guilt being placed upon his shoulders as he goes to do the great work of atonement. And now he comes to find his closest companions and disciples sleeping. The same men who had shown such zeal before this. Some of them had left their families and had left their work and employment and probably a lot of money. Some had made great sacrifices. Just hours before, they were talking together with him in the upper room about how much they loved him and they were willing to die for him. And here now, knowing the events that are about to come that Jesus had talked about very openly and plainly with them, they're catching a few Z's in La La Land. What this demonstrates to us about our sinful flesh, our sinfulness that's inside of all of us, even Christians. How quickly our thoughts can go from being pro-Christ, if you will, things in favor of him, to just so suddenly turning against him, or at least being neutral about him. Isn't it just amazing how just in your own mind and heart, how fast that quick transformation can go back and forth from caring about your Christian faith on the one hand and then caring about the evils of this world just in the next moment? When I was a pastor years ago, I was at a Winkle conference, they call it. It's a place where pastors get together once a month to talk about different issues, and we would study together. And one of the things they were doing was studying and critiquing a fellow pastor's sermon. He was a middle-aged pastor. And in his sermon, he had made the comment that we Christians can stop sinning against God. And I remember the youngest guy in the room spoke up kind of timidly and said, "I'm sorry, but no, we can't." And he said, "Well, sure we can. What do you mean?" He said, "No, we can't. We can't stop sinning. We should. That's true. But we can't. We're weak." And finally, the oldest pastor in the room spoke up and quoted that passage from John. "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." The holiness that you and I need on Judgment Day, the holiness that we need to get into heaven, is not a quality that works itself out inside of us. But the holiness that you and I need to walk into the doors of heaven someday is instead a status which God graciously gives you and has granted you through the gift of faith in his Son. But at the same time, the hunger and the striving for holiness in the hearts and minds and lives of Christ's faithful will always be present there. Dr. Franz Pieper said it this way: "The Christian who does not strive to serve God alone is perilously close to losing his Christianity." Now, why does the Holy Spirit let us see, like in the lives here of Jesus' disciples and in other cases throughout the Scriptures, why does God the Holy Spirit make sure to record these things in the Bible that show us the flaws and the weaknesses of those who are believers? Why does he let us see the sins of David and the sins of Moses and the sins of Abraham, lying about who his wife was, all of the different things, Noah drunk in his tent? Why does God let us see all of this wickedness and weakness of these believers? Is it so that we can feel like, hey, that gives me a license to go sin? Apparently you can still do that stuff and be a Christian. No, that's not the reason at all. But it's so that people like me and like you who wrestle with our sins and our weaknesses, that we can look at examples of believers who still are weak like this in Scripture and say, well, you know, maybe there still is hope for me. I'm sure that when Jesus came and woke up his disciples and chastised them for not staying awake with him at this very crucial moment in his ministry, and they were struck with guilt, I'm sure, and felt very ashamed, and I wonder if some of them maybe even thought, I'm supposed to be a believer in this man and in this Son of God, and I can't even stay awake. Maybe started to question whether they really had the true, authentic faith. Let's imagine for a moment that you were in a building collapse and you were knocked unconscious, and all of a sudden there was this rubble that caved in all around you, and you're lying there in a pit of rubble now as the building was all around you, and you couldn't see your arms. And as you come to, you start wondering if you even have your arm, if it's even there. And you try to move your fingers and your hand, and your hand actually bumps into some sharp glass, and it cuts your finger, and you start to bleed a little bit. And you can feel the warm blood going down onto your hand, even though you can't see your arm. And even though it hurts, that's a very healthy sign, isn't it? It's a sign that your arm's okay. When we feel the pain of our sins, when our consciences bother us and trouble us, when we realize that as a Christian, I'm supposed to love my Savior and I'm supposed to love God, but man, I still do all of this stuff that's so against Him, and that troubles us, and when that bothers us, that pain that we feel, that's a healthy sign. That's godly sorrow worked in us by the Holy Spirit. Years ago, I had a man that took adult instruction class from me, and he was a brand new Christian. Had never known anything about the gospel before, and never known about Jesus paying for his sins on the cross so he could go to heaven. He was just discovering all of this in classes. And I remember after the third class, he came up to me and he said, I've got kind of a weird question for you. He said, I feel like the more I learn to know about Christ and the gospel, the more aware I am of my sin, of my evil. Is that normal? I said, yeah, that is very normal. Our sanctification in this life, our lives of Christian good works, it will always remain imperfect. Though some may at times make improvements, and maybe as you mature, likewise, you make improvements here and there. But we should not use the fact that it will always be imperfect in this life as an excuse to pursue sin. The Scriptures are always encouraging us to grow, to increase, and to abound in our love for the Lord and in this area of our life. Jesus here turns to his disciples and says, watch and pray. Use the gift of prayer in this as well, lest you enter into temptation. Later on, these same disciples were very comforted by Jesus when they saw him resurrected and then later would see him ascend into glory. And I'm sure he during that time, stood and talked personally to each one of them, encouraging them and to show them that you still are part of my kingdom. If somebody blindfolded you and took you into a surgical room where operations are done and took the blindfold off and had you look around, it wouldn't take you long to figure out who this room had been designed for as you looked at the table and all of the equipment that was around. It was there to help somebody who was very sick. The whole room was designed around someone who needs help. When you look at God's surgical room, when you consider his means of grace, baptism, the Lord's Supper, the ministry, the keys, the proclamation of his word, it's designed around sinners. It's designed around people who are weak, who struggle, whose consciences bother them because they know that they're not right with God by themselves. God has designed the whole Christian faith around you, around us and our weaknesses, so that we can come to know of this wonderful Savior and what he's done for us and be comforted by his grace. I want to close today with an awesome quotation that really helped me in my spiritual life when I was in seminary. I ran across this in studying Dr. Luther's commentary on Psalm 51. Just listen to this. If therefore you acknowledge that you have sin, if you tremble, if you are troubled by a feeling of God's wrath and by a horror of God's judgment and hell, then have confidence. You are the one with whom God wants to speak, to whom God wants to show his mercy, and whom he wants to save. Amen. Please rise. Today we honor a prayer request. Michael Harding's grandmother, Elaine Harding, is recovering from pneumonia, presently unable to walk, and we pray. Lord God, you have graciously invited us to bring our concerns before you through the merits of your Son. In this time of difficulty, be with your child, Elaine. Provide ability and skill to those who now attend to her needs. Above all, strengthen her trust in you and your saving promises in Christ. And if it is your will, restore her again to full health. Teach us to call upon you when we face temptations and challenges in this life, and guide us on the narrow path which leads to your kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.